Would like to read now from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, and this is John speaking at the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." We know there are at least how many heavens taught in the Bible. We know there are at least how many heavens taught in the Bible. This says that John saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now, how many heavens are mentioned in that first verse there? There are two heavens. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." There are two heavens that are mentioned there. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Word of God says that the Apostle Paul knew a man in Christ, whether in the body he could not tell, or whether out of the body he could not tell. Such an one was caught up to the third heaven. So, since we have 2 Corinthians 12:3 as well as Revelation 21 and many other scriptures, we know there are at least three heavens taught in the Word of God. One of those heavens is mentioned here in Revelation 21 and 22. It's called the new heaven and the new earth. It's called the holy city, and it's called the new Jerusalem. This new heaven and new earth came down from God out of heaven. This heaven that's being described, this holy city, in Revelation 21 and 22, came down from God out of heaven. Since it came down from God, it's called the kingdom of God, and it came out of heaven, therefore it's called the kingdom of heaven. So John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" This is one of the most wonderful messages, I believe, in all the Word of God. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as it describes the resurrection, it says, "And so shall we go to be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." In the final resurrection, the whole family of God is going to go be with the Lord in the eternal heaven. That's the end of all things. We're going to be with the Lord in the eternal heaven. But this is not talking about us going to be with the Lord, but it's talking about the Lord coming down here and dwelling with us. And I thank God, brethren, this is one of the most wonderful blessings. I believe it is the greatest blessing we have in our lives, is to be able to feel God with us now. I look forward to going home to be with Him, and that eternal heaven is far greater than any heaven we will ever experience in this world. But I'm glad that God does not make us wait until we get to the eternal heaven to be with Him, but He'll come down now and dwell with us now. And that's what John saw, was God coming down and dwelling with them. And he says in that third verse, it says that God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them. I want us to think tonight about God being with us. All during this week, as I have meditated on God being with us, I have felt great joy and great peace in feeling the presence of God. We can talk about that God is everywhere present all we want to, but unless we can feel God with us, it doesn't mean anything at all. But if I can feel the presence of God, then I can also feel the power of God. And I can feel the peace of God, and I can feel the love of God. Everything that there is that comes with God, I can feel all of that when I can feel that God is with me now. So God is with us. God is, Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 18:20. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." That's God with us. His name was called Jesus, but His name was also called Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. And I want to say this, that God did not start being with His people in Revelation chapter 21. God did not start being with His people in the book of Matthew when Jesus was born into the world. That's not when God started being with His people. God has been with His people in all ages of the world. But in Revelation 21, and in fact in Matthew chapter 1, we find God with us in a special way in Matthew 1 when Jesus came into the earth. But we also find in Revelation 21 God with us in another special way. But I want you to know that God, in His infinite love and mercy, God was with His people way back there. God was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God was with the children of Israel when they were walking all around in the wilderness. God was with them way back there. When they began to go into the land of Canaan, God was with them. God was with them. In fact, Moses, and I don't know of anyone that ever has had a harder job than Moses did, but Moses, as he communed with God, when God began to tell him that he had to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and lead them through the wilderness and lead them into the land of Canaan, when God began to speak to Moses, Moses wanted to know, God, are You going to go with us? Are You going to be with us? Because God, if You're not going to be with us, I don't want to go. Isn't that a wonderful way to just slow your life down? Don't you think maybe we've gotten in such a rat race in our lives that we don't care if God's going to go with us or not. We've just got to go. We've got to go. We've got to go. And we're running and we're having all these things going on in our lives. And we don't care if God's with us or not. Or at least we act sometimes like we don't care if He's with us. But Moses was just saying, I'm not going to go anywhere unless You're going to go with me. I want God with me wherever I go. When you get in your car and you begin to go anywhere, you need to say, God, please go with me. I don't want to go unless You're going to go with me. Back up in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. I want you to hear the plea of Moses. His cry to God is, God, go with me. I don't want to go unless You're going to go with me. That ought to be the feeling of all of us. I don't want to do anything unless God's going to go with me. Wherever you are, you need to feel God is with me here. In Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 13, look in your Bibles at Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 13. This is Moses communing with God now. In Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God says, Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. You know, we need to know God's way, don't we? Sometimes people say, well, everything's got to be your way. No, it doesn't have to be my way. But listen, brethren, as a church, we better always say it's got to be God's way. As children of God, we've got to do things God's way. And as a nation, you know what we're supposed to do as a nation? We're supposed to do things God's way. We've stopped it as a nation, and many churches have stopped doing things God's way. If we don't get back to the Word of God, we'll be destroyed by God. And so it is that Moses says, Now show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14 he says, And he said, My presence, this is God telling Moses, My presence shall go with thee. Was God going to be with Moses? Did Moses want God with him? Did he want to feel God's presence with him? He says, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, this is Moses speaking to God, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, no, Moses knew that he was leaving Egypt. He knew he was going into the land of Canaan, but he says, I don't care if the land of Canaan is a land flowing with milk and honey. I don't care how wonderful the land of Canaan is. If you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go there. And that ought to be the feeling of every one of us in our lives, that no matter where we talk about going, no matter what we talk about doing, no matter how much joy we think there is in that place or doing that particular thing that we want to do, we need to say and declare and mean, God, if You're not going to go with me there, I don't want to go. And there are some things, there are places that we sometimes go that God will not go with us there. We'd better be sure that where we're going is where God will go with us. God promised Moses, I'll be with you. I'm going to go with you. Verse 16, he says, For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not that thou goest with us? What's Moses saying? He's saying, God, the only way that everybody's going to know that we are your people, the only way that everybody's going to know that we're not just some people following our own will, is if you go with us. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And then he closes in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. What did he ask for in verse 13? In verse 13, what did he say? Show me what in verse 13? Show me thy way. And then what did he ask for in verse 18? I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And I tell you and declare that it is when God teaches us and shows us his way, and we walk in his way, that then we will also see his glory. It's a great privilege to be able to see the glory of God and the power of God and to feel God is with us. God is with us. One of you children, tell me, what does Psalm 23 verse 4 say? Very good. Very good. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? Thou art with me. Now, why could David say he would not fear walking in the valley of the shadow of death? It was because if he can feel God's presence. See, I want you to see the contrast. Moses had said, I don't care how wonderful the land of Canaan is. If you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go there. And what David is saying is, I don't care how bad the place is that God might send me. If God will go with me, I won't be afraid to go there. So brethren, the people of God need to just have as one of the primary goals of our lives every day, God, go with me today and show me thy way so that I walk in your way. Because listen, 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2 says, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. So we need to pray, God, show me thy way. And then you need to pray, we need to pray, God, help me to walk in your way. Because when you show me your way and I walk in your way, I'm going to see your glory. And I'm going to rejoice and have peace in my soul. Doesn't matter if I'm in the land of Canaan or if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is with me. God is with us. There are so many times, brethren, that God calls on his people to go through very difficult times. They're in this congregation tonight. There are all kinds of different problems. All kinds. We could start right here on the front row and go all the way through this congregation, and every one of you has different kinds of burdens to bear, different kinds of paths. We're not all on the same path. We're on the straight and narrow way if we're walking in the right way, but I'm talking about we have different things that we have to face in our lives. But no matter what we have to face, doesn't matter what you're facing right now or tomorrow or next week or next month, doesn't matter what you're facing, if God will be with you and manifest himself to you, you'll have peace in your soul. And you'll feel powerful. You can tell Satan, you can say, get thee behind me, Satan, if you can just feel God is with you. You'll have no fear of the devil. You'll have no fear of men. You'll have no fear of anyone except God if you can just feel God is with me. In Isaiah chapter 43, the Word of God says in Isaiah 43 verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Oh, how many times have we heard, fear not? Have any of you been afraid during this past week? If you've been afraid of anything during this past week, hold up your hand. The rest of you better think a little longer. We get afraid. We're afraid. That's the reason God so often says to his people, fear not, fear not, fear not. When Peter began to sink, Jesus says, O ye of little faith. It's our faith that is lacking. It's not feeling God with us that causes us to be afraid. Because when I feel God with me, I am not afraid. You are not afraid. It's a lack of feeling God with us that causes us to be afraid. So God says here in Isaiah 43 verse 1, he says, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Did you know you belong to God? Did you know there's somebody that loves you more than your mama or your daddy? There's somebody that loves you more than your wife or your husband. There's somebody that loves you more than your children love you. There's somebody that loves you more than any other human being on the face of this earth. Doesn't matter how much other people might love you, God loves you more than anybody else on the face of the earth. He loves you. You belong to God. You've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Father gave His only begotten Son for you, and you are precious to God. And God says now in verse 2, He says, when thou passest through the waters, He doesn't say if, He says when, you will, you will. You may not be in the waters right now. You may be on the mountaintop. Everything may be wonderful. Just fasten your seatbelt. The Word of God teaches us that as long as we live in this world, we're going to have a land, it's a land of hills and valleys. There are going to be times that we're soaring on the mountaintop and we think, you know, I'll never lose faith again. I'll always trust in God. I'm on the right path and I'm going in the right direction and I'll never stray again. And before you know it, you've fallen off the end of the cliff and you're down in the valley again. So God says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame of the kindle on thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Come down to verse 5. He says, fear not. In verse 5, He says, fear not, for I am with thee. How many of you can honestly say, well, just don't answer out loud, just in your own heart, think, do I really feel God with me? Because if you don't feel God with you, you know what you better do? You better get on your knees. If you don't feel God with you, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, I beg you to either get on your knees right now here at the altar. I beg you to get down on your knees down here. If you don't feel God with you, I beg you. If you don't get on your knees here, I beg you to go home, get on your knees. But don't watch television and don't eat anything. You stay on your knees until you can feel God with you. You need to feel God with you. I not only want us to think about God being with us, but there's something that probably, at least to me right now, is a step above that. I want you to think, that sounds like God being with us is as good as it can get. But I think there's a step above that, and that is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Think about that. God being for us. Now, what does that mean to you? When you hear, if God be for you, if God is for you, it's not just that He's walking along beside you, but He's fighting for you. He's providing for you. He's doing things for you. He's not just with you, but He's doing things for you. And if God be for you, if God is going to be helping you, if God be for us, who can be against us? You see, the devil and all of his angels cannot in any way hinder or stop or slow down the army of God as long as God is fighting the battles for them. When the children of Israel began to go into the land of Canaan, that was the promise God kept telling them. You don't have to fight the battles. I will fight them for you. I am for you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Was there any way that any army in the land of Canaan, was there any way that any army could defeat the army of God as long as God was for the army of God? That's right, Sister Rebecca. As long as God was for the army of God, no other army could beat them. On the other hand, and we find this at the Battle of Ai and other places, when the army of God stopped following God and stopped obeying God, God stopped being two things. I want you to tell me what are the two things. God stopped being what? With them. He stopped being with them. And He stopped being what? For them. And when God stops being with you and God stops being for you, you have just gone down into hell on earth. It's a horrible thing when you realize God is not with us. Wasn't it Samson that the Word of God says that after his hair had been cut, The Word of God says that he arose and he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. The Lord had departed from him. I need God with me, but I need God for me also. Turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And let's just look at a couple of instances where God is telling the children of Israel that he was going to not just be with them, but he was going to be for them. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8:31. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, listen to verses 29 and 30. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And by the way, if I call out the wrong scripture, I had one dear little sister this morning that she always takes notes during my preaching, and she'll hand me those notes, and I appreciate it. I've got them going back as long as she was been writing them. And on the note that she handed me this morning, it said something that I've never read from her before, but it said, "Brother Billy messed up." Brother Billy messed up. Well, who knows how I messed up? Anybody here know how I messed up? See, most everybody here knows I messed up. She's the only one that told me I messed up. I kept saying Jeremiah 10:23, and I would have sworn it was Jeremiah 10:23 and 24. It wasn't Jeremiah 10, it was Jeremiah 9:23 and 24. Jeremiah 9 was what I was trying to get to this morning. Look at Deuteronomy. And please, some people just stayed lost the rest of the sermon this morning because they just kept looking and thinking and wondering, when I mess up, stop me. Raise your hand and say, where is that? I don't find that in my Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. The Word of God says, "Then I said unto you, dread not." What does dread not mean? Well, dread not means fear not. Exactly. It's just another word that means don't be afraid. Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you. Now watch. This is something that I haven't even mentioned yet. God goes before you. Do you see? God goes before you. He prepares the way. God goes before you. God goes, what's the second thing? The first thing we looked at tonight? God goes with you. And he says, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight. What are the next two words? For you. That's God being for them. He will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 3:22 says, "Ye shall not fear them." What is God telling them? Don't be afraid. Listen, brethren, I believe with all of my heart that all those battles the children of Israel fought in the Old Testament, just because we don't have physical battles to fight, we still have battles to fight today in our lives. And the same thing that they needed is what we need today. We need God to go before us, we need God to go with us, and we need for God to be for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 22, the Scripture says, "Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you." He's for us. One more in Deuteronomy chapter 20 now. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. This is the prettiest one in Deuteronomy to me. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. First, look at verse 4. Now, follow this carefully. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, what are we talking about right now? We're talking about God. We've already been talking about God going before us. We've been talking about God going what? With us. And now we're talking about God being what? For us. God being for us. Deuteronomy chapter 20, listen to verse 1. The Word of God says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." What's the first thing he's saying in this passage? The Lord thy God is what? With thee. Now come down to verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight" what? "To fight for you against your enemies, to save you." Listen, brethren, God saves us. He saved me at Calvary 2,000 years ago. He saved me from my sins. But my Lord is still saving me and delivering me from troubles and problems all during my life. I need God today. I need Him to go before me. I need Him to go with me. I need Him to fight for me. One last thing is, not only do we need God to go before us and need God to be with us, and we need God to be for us, but we need to know that God is in us. And I think that's the most wonderful thing of them all, is that God dwells in you. Isn't that marvelous? It's a marvelous thing. When John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God," that is an amazing thing, that we should be called the sons of God. But it is even more amazing to me that God would actually dwell in His people. But that's what the Scripture says. Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." The Apostle Paul, when he talks about various accomplishments that he made in his life, he said, "Yet not I, but the Lord that dwelleth in me." In closing, turn to 1 John, the end of the New Testament. We have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, three little books at the end of the New Testament. And in 1 John chapter 3, I want you to know that the Bible in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, God tells us that God is in us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. The Word of God says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments." Do you keep his commandments? Is there something you have to do for God to be with you? Yes. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him," that is, you dwell in God, "and he in you." God dwells in you. You dwell in God, and God dwells in you. "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Can you know that God dwells in you? Are there times that you have known beyond any shadow of doubt God does dwell in me? There are also many times in my life, there are times that I can't feel God in me. There are times that I don't feel God's with me. There are times that God doesn't go before me. When does God not go before me? When does God not go before me? Well, when I'm not going in the right direction. When I'm not going in the right direction, He's not going to go before me. When does God not go with me? When I'm not keeping His commandments. When is God not going to be for me, but rather against me? When I'm not keeping His commandments. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You know why you can resist temptation? Do you know why you can be victorious? Do you know why you're able to defeat the devil in your life? Listen, the devil is not some... When we were children, we used to sing a song. I don't remember how it went, but it was something like, "If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack." Well, listen, brethren, the devil is more powerful than I think we realize sometimes. And the devil will destroy your life. He's a roaring lion. He's as a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And the only way that you will not be devoured by Satan is if you recognize the power that you need to defeat Satan is God in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. May God help us to thank God for going before us, to thank God for being with us, to thank God for fighting for us, and to thank God that He is in us. Because if we can feel all of that and know all of that's true, we can have a joyful day every day of our lives. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.